May only God's word be spoken, only his God's word heard. Amen. I hope you already know this, but let me reiterate that every single Christian has been sent on a mission. Everyone. A mission with clear directives. The word mission comes from the Latin word missio, which literally means sent. Jesus says, as the Father sends me, I am sending you. The word apostle, by the way, also means sent. Jesus has been granted all authority in heaven and on earth. He is the one who is sending us on this mission. The question, of course, is what is he sending us out to be or do? And Jesus is clear on this score, too. I'm sending you out to make disciples. Now, a message like this makes some Christians really squirm. They might say, I don't have the gift of evangelism, or I can't talk to strangers. And that's why we have pastors and missionaries, and I'll support them. We appreciate that, by the way. But I'll tell you right now, this is a misunderstanding of how the mission is to be carried out. Let me explain, but just in a bit. But the mission each and every one of us carry, who carry the label Christian, does call us to rise above our fear and trust the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives to make a difference in Jesus' name. In this sermon, I want to show that each Christian is called to be and do three things. Christians are called to be ambassadors, number one. Christians are called to be proclaimers, and Christians are called to be teachers. And together we're to make a radical change in our world. First of all, we who believe in Jesus and obey his commands are Christ's ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Word of God declares, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Now, how do ambassadors operate? I'm talking about ambassadors, our ambassador to France, or, you know, how do they operate? Often they go there to dispel wrong notions about their country or false conceptions about it. And when they speak, it is not their ideas and it's not their opinions, but it's what the country and the State Department, in our case, wants them to say, wants them to speak. If we are ambassadors of Christ, we speak and represent him. And we speak the word of God, what he's commanded us to speak. Would you ever think an ambassador would hide their identity? Keep it a secret. No, that would be defeating the purpose, the cause of being an ambassador. Instead, what do? They mean to honor their country. They're sent to speak and promote the policies and the values of the country they represent. Just so Christians represent and hold up the honor of Christ to the people all around us. We don't hide our identity. If we are arrogant, if we're a liar, if we're lacking integrity, if we're a slanderer, if we're a gossip, if we're snobbish, if we're selfish or hateful to our neighbors, then we're not being a good ambassador, are we? No, we have not grasped what Christ has called us to be and do. We will not make our country, in this case, the kingdom of God, look attractive or desirable. And if there is anything the kingdom of God is, it is desirable and attractive. Perhaps we all know some Christians who we don't like to be around, right? But how about us? You and I have been sent to represent Jesus. Jesus loved us first and called us to be his disciples. and to follow his policy. And what is his policy? Of loving people. Loving them with the love he gave us. So number one, we are called to be ambassadors. Second, we're called to be proclaimers. This is where so many people in the world have trouble with us Christians. They say, I like so many things about you Christians. I really do. I like how you help the poor, how you have good values, how you're really good neighbors. I like that very much. But I don't like it when you feel this need to convert us or save us. I think it's wrong, they say, to impose your beliefs on us. Perhaps you've heard that. Of course, there's an easy counter argument to this, which is you're doing the same thing. You're trying to impose your relativistic values on us. Our beliefs are that we must share about Jesus. Your belief is that we must not do that. But if we're sent to be proclaimers, then just what is a proclaimer? Well, as some of you may know, I had both hips replaced in July of 2020. And after 35 years of running, I used to run fast. I got to about the 30th year and I was jogging. I got the 35th year. Some would call it running, some would call it just hanging around. But it got so that I was bone on bone and I could not sleep at night without it starting to hurt. And if I walked 3/4 of a mile, it would start throbbing. Suppose I noticed someone with the same symptoms of failing hips that I had. Maybe we were casually talking, they were complaining about the throbbing pain in their hips. I would feel a great desire to share with them and encourage them that maybe they need to have the same surgery that I had, but don't do both hips at the same time, which I did foolishly. It's natural to want to share something that was good for you so that, in this case, a person could have less pain in their life. That's the way I feel about Jesus. When we come upon people with the same kind of spiritual symptoms that we may have had at one time, dissatisfaction with life, empty, selfish kind of life, a life controlled by desires and addictions, we want to share about new life they could have in Jesus. We want them to know about the goodness of God and what he can bring into their life. And that's through Jesus. Now, the proverbial illustration of this, if you had a cure for cancer, wouldn't you want to share it with as many people as you could for free? In Jesus, we have the ultimate cure for the disease of body, mind, and spirit. When people say you Christians ought to keep your religion a private thing, they show that they don't know the facts about Jesus and Christianity. Jesus was sent into the world publicly. And who would be his disciples? They were also sent into the world publicly. Indeed, this becomes one of the identifying marks that you really have met Jesus in your life, in that you don't hide the fact that you know him. You're public about your faith and about your desire to share Jesus with others. You know, you can go to places that I can't as proclaimers. I can't go to the Oak Ridge Lab and start talking about Jesus, you know, get up on a pedestal, start talking to them about Jesus. They don't even know, I don't even know them, they don't know me. If I did that, I would probably be escorted out, maybe arrested. Wouldn't that be cool? I'd probably be arrested. But if you work there, you will have opportunities to be proclaimers. And if you're with Christ, this is what you've been sent to do. Now, when I say that, you're not going to be obnoxious. You're going to look for opportunities that the Spirit sets up. I once had a member in my church in Alabama who was a truck driver. Anyway, he came and see me one time, and he said a fellow driver came to him and said, "Boy, there's not much to live for, is there?" And he was talking very depressed, and he was saying he was considering suicide. And my member came to me because he said, "You know, God set that up for me," and I didn't say anything to him. And then he said, "That's the last time that's going to happen." I've said that to myself. The Lord has laid it out for me to talk to someone. It's a little harder for pastors to be, because people think we're supposed to be talking this way, right? We're supposed to be sharing Christ. It's a little less hard for you. And you're going to meet people I will never be able to meet. And you're going to be set up. The Holy Spirit's going to set you up with a chance when people start talking to you and you know you have an opportunity with them. This is what it means to be a proclaimer. Not that we just grab someone out of their neck and say, "Listen to me." No. In their need, they're going to come to you. The Spirit's going to send it up. He goes ahead of you. He'll do it. He'll do the work. So, number two, we've been sent to be proclaimers. Ambassadors, proclaimers. Finally, we've been sent to be teachers. This is not in the formal sense. But as you grow in biblical knowledge and spiritual wisdom, it's not for your benefit alone. You were meant to pass it on. If God blesses you with spiritual insight, you're supposed to bless others with it. Many of you go to BSF, Bible Study Fellowship. I like that. I think it's wonderful because it's going to cover all the Bible and everything. When I retire, I'm going to go see if they can teach me anything. No, I'm kidding. They will. You know, it'll be good. Whatever you've learned there, you can share with others. Much of our teaching, however, will be what I call incarnational teaching. In other words, people are watching how we do life. We teach by the integrity and love that we display. It is shown in how we deal with our neighbors, how we raise our children, how we deal with money, how faithful we are in attending worship services. People notice those things. It's a way that we witness. It gives us opportunity with them. Then there is a thing called apologetics. And God calls some special people, which gives them a special ability to defend the faith by giving reasoned arguments of why it should be believed, why Christianity is true. Also, some of you are called to be Bible study leaders. Some of you are called to be Sunday school teachers. Some of you are called to lead a small group. You're doing the mission. And if God calls you to do this, it's time to do it. Oh, I wish there were so many more of you like that. Tim Keller once said, "Today's culture believes the thing we need salvation from is the idea that we need salvation." How wrong they are. You and I know that's what we needed and that's what the world needs. More than anything is Jesus and His grace. And so Jesus has sent us. And if not us, then who? We've been sent to be teachers. Ambassadors, proclaimers, and teachers. Jesus sent the original disciples out, and He sent them out with a passion. Maybe that's not quite the word, but He sent them with energy, enthusiasm, and with a desire to put everything else into second place. That's what you do when you're on a mission. The mission is to be achieved, and other things, your personal happiness, your personal needs, have to come second. in order to achieve the mission. And there's no greater mission than the one Jesus Christ gives us. No greater. So, let me ask you, will you rise to the task? Are you committed to Jesus Christ? Do you love Him? Will you sacrifice for Him? Will you obey Him? Will you accept the mission? Jesus bled and died for you and took your sins upon Himself. And He wants to call all people to Himself. But He uses you to do the calling. That's how the kingdom expands. Will you be an ambassador? Will you be a proclaimer? Will you be a teacher? We're on a mission from God. So let's do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.